Good afternoon. I just want to say thanks to the Health Law Section for bringing in this issue of immigration detention, which we, you know, have been pursuing in multiple arenas, advocating for improved care for immigrant detainees, health care, mental health care, conditions of detention. So my name is Homer Venters. I'm from Bellevue and also from Rikers. And today what I'd like to do is give you first a very brief introduction to this endeavor of detaining immigrants, which is quite a large and growing institution in the United States. Talk about the medical issues that we've discovered, that many before us have discovered, and then really focus on some of the legal mechanisms that exist and that we hope to promote and pass to ensure and promote the well-being and health of detained immigrants. No disclosures. So three brief legal matters give us some historical context. Immigrants have been detained in this country for a long time. It's not new. A couple of things I want to point out. One is the HIV travel ban. How many people here have heard of this? Okay, all right, so I won't belabor the point. It's almost over. That's a good thing. The real thing to notice is in the 96th immigration reform law that really tipped the scales towards the presumption of detention for immigrants as opposed to the presumption of staying in the community when they come into contact with immigration authorities. So that's when immigration detention really started to increase, and then 2002, the creation of Homeland Security was an important event, which we'll get into. So the detention of immigrants in the United States is a big job. Over 400,000 people were detained last year, 32,000 people at any one time. People are held by ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, so I find attorneys are very familiar with this, much more familiar with all of this than most of us in the medical field are. But ICE is a very large component of the Department of Homeland Security. Although they're the detaining authority, and these people aren't held on criminal charges, they're held for their violation or their immigration status, they're held in a really wide spectrum of facilities. So they might be in jails and prisons. Basically, anybody who runs any kind of correctional center, if you're in that business, this is a good business to be in, because this is a pretty high profit, reliable population to have. If you have 100 beds and you can fill 90 of them with ICE detainees, it means you're going to be paid pretty reliably by the federal government at a profit margin that's higher than if you are just holding your county lockup detainees. So the three areas that we've identified, and many before us have identified, that are really problematic with regard to health care. First is there's no legal guarantee for medical care for immigrant detainees. So you all, since a lot of you are lawyers, learned about Estelle v. Gamble at some point during law school, which is the Supreme Court decision in 1976 that guaranteed prisoners medical care. So there's no analogous Supreme Court decision that says detained immigrants get medical care or health care. There's also no legislation thus far, although we'll talk about some proposed legislation. So there's no legal guarantee for these folks to get medical care. Second issue is that when problems occur, and they always do in any correctional setting, the default in a correctional setting is you've taken people's liberty away. They're going to have problems accessing mental health care and medical care. So when problems occur, there's really been very little reporting to the outside, because these folks are held in this vast infrastructure of facilities that are spread all over the country, and also because you have this, umbrella of Homeland Security detention. There's no mandatory reporting of deaths to the outside of Homeland Security. There's certainly no mandatory monitoring or reporting of morbidity, sickness, which I would contend is a more important readout for how the health of this population is progressing. And then the third thing that I'm going to mention is basically the health plan. So there's a couple iterations of plans for how medical care should be delivered to immigrant detainees that are inadequate. So this kind of is a graphic reprise of what I just mentioned, which is detainees might find themselves on the left in a federal county jail, or they may be in a facility that's run by Homeland Security, by ICE itself. So I'd like to point out two things here. One is the health plan on the left, and on the right I have something else called a medical standard. So those seem like similar terminologies, but when I say medical standard, what I mean is ICE has a whole series of detention standards that govern phones, that govern sewers, that govern bed space, things like that, and there is a medical care standard. That standard governs things that happen inside the detention center. Now, for the many, many immigrants that may get sick, may need to go to the hospital or a clinic or go for some care outside the detention center, like medical clinic, they will then run into this thing called the ICE health plan. Now, this health plan is like an HMO plan. It basically says what can be, it's a financial plan, so it says what can be reimbursed, what will be covered. So if you're the detention center sending somebody out, you have to contend with this list of, okay, these things are covered, these things are not covered. And that health plan really is basically an acute care plan. So when we break these down, I'll start on the right again, the medical standard. This medical standard, actually, ICE has a new medical standard that we in the NGO community have worked with them on several iterations of this standard, and we think it's not bad. It's certainly been vastly improved. So for the care that ICE says should happen inside detention centers, this standard, I think, is close to what you would see in correctional settings, other correctional settings. It's not quite there, but it's pretty good. It governs things like sick call, what the clinic has to look like in a detention center, what kind of screening has to happen when somebody arrives at the facility. On the left, though, the health plan that I mentioned that we really have problems with, it basically operates like an HMO plan. So, everybody here knows what a pain it is to have something pre-approved. So the way this health plan works is anytime a detainee leaves a detention center, whatever they're going for has to be pre-approved by ICE in headquarters. So the net effect of that is that there are large chunks of care that are not covered. Most of it has to do with like chronic care for chronic diseases. So that care just doesn't get delivered much of the time because it's not covered, it's not financially reimbursed. So critiques of these two, which I've already explained to you, on the right, I think the medical standard is improved, but I'll jump to the bottom there, which is that we had pushed for a long time for this medical standard, as a matter of fact, for all these standards to be made as federal rules, so that there would be some force of law behind, for instance, the obligation, like there's a standard that says everybody has to have access to a telephone. Well, it's fine for ICE to have that as a standard, but if there's not a federal rule, then there's not really any way for them to enforce it, with the exception of maybe canceling the contract with a facility. But given the large numbers of people that are being detained, I simply can't cancel many contracts because each year they're, including next year and the year after, ICE is going to detain more and more people. So if we know that we need more and more bed space, or ICE needs more and more bed space, it's difficult for them to cancel contracts, and without federal rulemaking or some legal obligation to deliver on the care in these standards, it's unlikely that it's going to happen. So the lack of federal rulemaking for that standard was a major blow for us when they decided not to implement that. On the left, I'll just mention that health plan, so the thing that governs care in clinics or in hospitals, what should be covered, that's not at all linked to the standard, which has to do with what goes on in the detention center. So the lack of linkage between these two is also a fundamental problem because I've talked to wardens in county jails that say, I have no idea which of these standards applies. I don't know if I should look at this medical care standard for inside the facility or if I should look at this thing that governs going to the hospital because it's the same patient, it's the same care. And we don't, they don't know. And I think if these local jails and private facilities don't know, then the net effect is the patient is not going to get a good continuity of care. So the legal aspects of this that I wanted to present to you, legislation, federal rulemaking, and litigation. So I just mentioned federal rulemaking a little bit, and I'm going to skip it because ICE has just recently decided that they're not going to turn any of those standards into federal rules. So there's not much we can do about it except for say we think it's a bad idea. The first thing, their legislation. This is a little synopsis of a current bill that's in the Senate. This is a bill, actually, there's an iteration of this bill that's been in the last several congressional cycles. It has never passed. But basically, as you can see, the bullet points say, you know, it says that Homeland Security has to come up with a way to give everybody health care, you know, use professional and clinical judgments, and then the last thing there is a mandatory reporting out of all deaths, which actually has not happened up to this point. So this, there was a bill last year, actually, the same bill, pretty much, I think it was Congresswoman Lofgren from California. It started in the House, but it didn't go anywhere. Before that, it was, I think it was Senator Lieberman the year before. The issue with this bill is it seems like a no-brainer. Even, you know, although ICE doesn't want this bill necessarily, there aren't too many people that would argue this seems like a very kind of plain vanilla thing to say must happen. The problem is that this bill always ends up getting conflated with immigration reform. And so it's hard for this bill to get through Congress, both houses of Congress, on its own. And it ends up having these like poison pill amendments put into it that have to do with much bigger immigration issues. And so we're hopeful this year that it may pass. But you know, soon, I think this is the avenue that will probably win out, is we will get legislation that mandates you know, some standard of healthcare delivery. So there's been quite a bit of litigation also on behalf of detained immigrants. This is a case that we were involved, we wrote an amicus brief for, but basically it was a group of detainees out in San Diego who got very poor care with some bad outcomes. So there was, the ACLU is and was litigating the case out there, but then we came on, I'm with the Bellevue Program for Survivors of Torture, so we came on and wrote an amicus brief to say, we know from our research that these problems are not unique to these seven people, that in fact they're common throughout the detention system for detained immigrants, and we did that in support of a motion to certify detainees as a class, to make this a class action suit. And that's still in the courts, and I don't know where it'll go, but there have been a number of wrongful death also suits against ICE, some of which you may have read about in, you know, your local papers, because there have been, you know, 105, 106 deaths in the last several years. So, you know, many of them make the papers wherever you are. So this is where we stand, which is that we've got legislation that we're trying to push through Congress that will mandate some sort of health care for detained immigrants. We have multiple ongoing lawsuits that have to do with substandard care. And I think that we're probably not, for right now, going to make any headway with federal rules making, because the Department of Homeland Security just is not interested in it. So that's kind of where we are. And the last thing I'll say is that the mental health, one of the lawsuits that has moved ahead is that I'd just forgotten about, but thinking about mental health, was that ICE holds detainees in inpatient psychiatric centers sometimes. So instead of going to a hospital, they go to inpatient psych centers. In California, it was discovered that some of those detainees end up not getting the rights that are guaranteed to them by the county and by the state. That, for instance, they don't get any TV, they don't get access to families, phones, things like that, that California clearly says if you're in an inpatient psychiatric center, you should get. But because it's an ICE patient, ICE was able to convince local hospitals to abrogate the rights of these folks. So it's an important issue, and I'll look forward to questions later. Thanks.